I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 20. And I would like for us to read some verses. Verses 28 to 35. And then back up and get one verse a little above that in the same chapter, verse number 24. And so we'll start with 28 together as we read. Okay, everybody find it? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Let's stand as we read this. Okay, let's stand. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered into my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray now as we look at these verses and a few others for a few moments this morning, that you will help me to give a challenge to the folks to realize that the Christian life goes on day by day. It's a daily thing. It's not something that we just try to deal with on Sunday, but we have to deal with it on Monday through Saturday too. And I pray that this challenge and charge will help the believers here to realize that we need to be faithful every day. We need to, do what we ought to do every day, and to seek your face and to follow your spirit. And so I pray that you'll just work in our midst this morning. I pray also for the Crockers that are getting ready to come, and we're of course getting ready to go, and then others are in and out, and we're in constant movement, but yet along the way we have that Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, that helps us so that we can be what God wants us to be. I pray that we'll listen to him and follow him, and read the word and follow its teachings. And I pray that today that you'll help us get the thoughts that I have that I want to express to the folks. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you the blanks first, and that way I got that out of the way, and we can just go at it. Roman numeral 1, take heed unto yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves. Roman number 2, take heed to all the flock. Take heed to all the flock. And of course, if you look in the verses, it's right there. I'm not a real complicated preacher. I just kind of stick to the word. And so I hope that you do too. I found that that's helped me more than anything. It's not how great I am, it's how good the Word is. Roman numeral 3, commended to God through prayer. Commended to God through prayer. The phrase there, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. That means Paul was praying for them, the Ephesian believers. And then Roman numeral 4, commended to the Word. And now, brethren, I commend you to the Word of His grace. That's there in verse 32. And then Roman numeral 5 is render sacrificial service. Render sacrificial service. Okay? And that'll give you the main points. And you've got the gist of my message. I may say something that I didn't write here, but, you know, this will help you along the way. Now, in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul about to take a break from the regular routine of his work as a missionary. We're doing the same. And I thought, my, I'll just borrow what Paul said. It makes it so much easier on me. The admonitions are very good, very clear, and I think they're very, you know, it works here now. I mean, it just works good. And I want you to note with me the record at the end of his first missionary trip. If you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. In verse 25 it says, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed unto Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. In verse 27 it says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Also, there's a record in the book of Acts, in Acts 15 to 18, chapters 15 to 18, the second missionary trip of the Apostle Paul. And just as Paul returned to his home base, as it were, to report all that God had done with them, according to verse 27 and chapter 14. So we're going back to our supporting churches to report what God has done in our time over here and to give them a vision of what we feel God would like to do in the future. And we will see some of our supporting churches before we go back out. I'm hoping anyway. And this type of activity helps the supporting churches visualize how they support and pray, and to help in the ministry. The book of Acts is unique in that it records three of Paul's special messages. The first special message that is recorded in the book of Acts is to the Jews in Antioch. It's recorded in chapter 13. And then the second special message that is recorded in the book of Acts is to the Gentiles in Athens. And that's recorded in Acts chapter 17. And then the message he gave to the church at Miletus and the Ephesian elders is in Acts chapter 20. When I taught homiletics, I used to make the students, the men, male students, outline these messages and then report on it in class. I won't ask you to do that, but it wouldn't hurt you to read the messages that Paul preached. And I have to be very candid. It's hard to know what to say in your last main message. You know, it's something that it's not easy to decide. Now, what am I going to say at the end? Because they may have already forgotten a lot of things I've said in the 6 months, you know. Maybe in the last things they might remember something a little, you know, we're hoping. But you always learn from those that have gone on before. And since the Apostle Paul gave greetings before he left, I thought, hey, I'm just going to use his challenges, and they're good today, just like they were the day he gave them before he left the Ephesian brethren and the church at Miletus. So the first point I'd like to mention is, take heed unto yourselves. You know, you can't expect the pastor to take care of you spiritually totally. You can't expect the church to do it. I mean, you know, it doesn't work that way. We have to take some responsibility on our own selves. So it's important that we, read the Bible and be faithful in our church attendance and give our tithes and offerings and try to be involved in some kind of Christian service and activities that, you know, that push the work of the Lord forward. We have to do that. We have to take that responsibility as individuals. In Jude chapter 24, the Bible said, God is able to keep you from falling, but we must maintain a proper relationship with God in order for that to be the case. I've given some things, I think, in your notes there. Keep thyself pure. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. Purity in thought and word and deed. If we do the right thing and we say the right thing and we go the right places and we accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish, it helps us as individuals. But then it helps us to be helpful to other Christians and other unsaved people, because people are watching you all the time. They're watching you all the time. And some that are unsaved may be saved simply by your lifestyle and what you say and what you do sometime in the future. You never know. You never know. So you need to keep yourself pure. And then the second thing is, you need to keep under your body. In other words, you need to be in control. You can't allow the flesh to have its way in your life. You can't allow the fallen nature to have its way in your life. You can't do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 says, keep under my body. In other words, you have to keep the flesh in its proper place. You have to keep the fallen nature in its proper place. You can't let it dominate in your life. You can't be a victorious Christian and allow that in your life. It doesn't work. And the Holy Spirit can be the one that helps you get the victory in that area of your life. And then you need to keep yourself from idols. We have so many things that people are so fond of today. We go by the window in a store and, oh, I love those shoes. And I love that dress. And I love that pair of pants. And I love that. And then look at that shirt. And, you know, we wear it 3 times and it hangs in the closet. And we never wear it again. And, you know, did we really love it? What should we really love? Well, we should love the Lord. We should love the Word of God. We should love the believers. We should love the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporal. You see, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You see, we have to be careful and take heed to yourself. Check up on yourself every once in a while. Did I read my Bible today? Did I pray for the other Christians I know today? Listen to me. This is what we've got to do. Take heed unto yourselves. And watch out. There's idols out there. People worship a lot of different things. Some people have cars they wash every week, and yet they don't take enough baths themselves. I mean, you know, people are that way. And some people will polish the car but won't comb their hair. I mean, you know how it is. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So watch out. Don't have idols. Now, I have 2 used cars, and I'm glad when they run because I can go where I need to go. But I'm not one that has to have a brand new car every year. I can't afford it, for number one. But number two is, A car is just something to get you from point A to point B, you know. It's not that important. If you have to have transportation, you have to have one, but, you know, it isn't that important. But reading your Bible is important. Knowing the Word of God is important. You never know when you might have to talk to somebody about Jesus. And so you got to do those things. And then in Jude 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, it's real easy, listen to me, it's real easy to allow worldliness to creep into your life and you lose sight of the Lord and His love. Okay? Don't allow this to happen. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude 21 says. You've got to keep that first love warm and vibrant. And only you can do it. The Lord's there all the time. He seeks you to allow Him to do His best in your life. But you're the one that has to make that possible, you see. And I understand. We live in a world that is Satan dominated. We live in a world that is about lights and activity and action and all of these things, and it's getting worse instead of better. I mean, our cell phones. Some people would probably have to go see a psychiatrist if their cell phone goes down permanently. They would be in terrible shape. When I sat on the MRT, I refuse to take my cell phone out. And everybody else is there. What are they doing? What are they not? I don't know. And if you ask them after the ride, what did you accomplish? They probably couldn't tell you they accomplished much. So how you use your time and your energy? Did you accomplish anything? Was it for eternity or was it just for the moment? We've got to keep these things in mind. Take heed to yourself. Another passage in James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, keep yourselves unspotted from the world. You know, we do have to live in the world, but we cannot allow ourselves to be of the world. It's two different things. And I'm not saying you can't enjoy some things that are in the world. That's not what I'm saying. I enjoy a great sunset or a great sunrise. I enjoy the water. I like to swim. I'm a certified scuba diver. I haven't been in a while, but I would love to do that because I love to see what you see down under the water. The coral and the fish and all the different creatures down there. You see all of it. You even see sharks once in a while. And you watch them, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, I enjoy things like that, but it's not my greatest joy. My greatest joy is the Word of God and the love of the Lord and having a Christian family and making sure that my children's children know Christ as their personal Savior and talking to people about Jesus. I mean, all of these things that we got to realize, we've got to be careful about the world. We're only here for a short time. And one day the world is going to be changed. And it's going to be different living in the new world. Okay? It's going to be different. Point number two, take heed to all the flock. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, Cain asked God a question. Am I my brother's keeper? What do you think the answer is? Yes. God expects us to look after each one another. And if you see somebody here today, but next Sunday you don't see them, call them, text them. Hey, what's going on? How come you missed? Maybe they had a business trip. Maybe they are sick. Well, then we need to put them on the prayer sheet because they're sick. We need to check on one another. We need to love each other, you see. And of course, in verse 10, God said to Cain, he said, "What hast thou done?" Well, really, what he had done, he had killed his brother, you see. And so we need to remember the admonition of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." It's so important that we really check up on people. A lot of what I do is try to check up on people. Sometimes people are a little lax in, you know, dealing with things day by day, and so they need help. Our children, we have to teach the children until they get it. They may not get it until they're 18 or 19 or 20 or 21. You have to keep telling them. I still tell my children things. They don't like it, but I do. Well, they do like it. They expect me to. Really, they expect me to say something. If I see something that I think's out of place, I'll tell them. Okay? And if I go to be with one of the children and the grandchildren are doing something they shouldn't do, I talk to them. And if my children say, "Hey, that's my job," that's okay. I'm going to tell them now. You have to take heed to all the flock. Our flock is getting bigger. We're going to have the 9th great-grandchild in September. And I have a responsibility as great-grandfather. And you have a responsibility for your children, for your relatives. Do you pray for all your relatives? Are all of them saved? If not, send them some tracts. Listen, we got a lot that we need to do. We have to be very careful. And the reason is because in the text that we read, Paul says in the text that they're grievous wolves without. And then in verse 30, men arise. Sometimes we have somebody within the assembly that starts talking about something that's not right. And so we have to watch and remember, and we have to be alert and careful not to let anyone move you away from the faith once delivered unto the saints. It's so important. It's so easy. We can stray so easily. And others around us can stray. And it might be just you showing some concern and checking on somebody gives them that wake-up call that they need. You know, I'm straying. I need to get back in line with the Lord. And it's important that we do that. In the notes, you'll notice the brothers of the world. We're a watchman to the unsaved. Ezekiel 33, verses 6 and 7 says, "But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Do you have the blood of any on your hands? Maybe someone you didn't warn about sin and encourage to be saved, but before they did, they died. You see, in verse 7, he says there in Ezekiel 33, "Thou son, O Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." The passage is talking about the brethren of the Jews, you see. And he says, "You're a watchman. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." And you need to warn your children when they're, you know, getting a little out of line. You need to warn others and talk to people. People need to realize. And sometimes we do things we're not thinking about what we're doing, and that we got off track a little bit. And somebody comes along and says, "Hey, I've not been seeing you in church lately." You see, and it gets people back in line. And then, of course, people in the Word, like James 5:19-20, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." This is talking, he's saying brethren here. He's not talking about the unsaved. He's talking about somebody that knows Christ, but they've erred. They've gotten off track. And if you can get them to come back and get back on track, you've done a good thing. And warning and winning the erring brother to change. It may bring maturity, more spiritual maturity in their life. And the responsible people are the spiritual Christians in the congregation. We've got a responsibility. If you have a close friend, but yet you're not seeing them in church as often as they ought to be here, it's your responsibility to talk to them. You know, the pastor is the last to know a lot of things. Now, I really appreciate the fact that you all text so much. I really do, man. I know what's going on. Yeah. But back home, they don't text like that. In other societies, they don't text like that. And it's good, but everybody's not in the text thread. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the ones that need to be in it are not in it, and the ones that are in it, you know, maybe they don't need to be there. Maybe they need to be helping somebody that's not in it, you see. We've got to get our job done, especially when it comes to Christians. And making sure they come to maturity. Making sure that they are responsible and upstanding and righteous in their lives. And then, of course, brothers of the work. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Oh, sin is so deceitful. The old nature, if it can wiggle its way in, it will do it. And it will mess you up as a Christian. And it can cause havoc among Christians. And, you know, we've got to be careful about this. It says in verse 14, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." The day you trusted Jesus Christ and believed by faith in Him, you need to hold that same belief the rest of your life. And realize that His shed blood is the finished work of Christ. And it saves us. It saves us for eternity, you see. And in verse 15 it says, "While it is today..." while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. The provocation is referring to what the Jews did when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and the whole generation died and never saw the promised land. And there are Christians that stay carnal in their Christian life and never, never really get into the abundant life that Christ really wants every believer to have. So the warning and the turning of your brother or sister in the work of the Lord is very important, because the deceitfulness of sin will rob you. And if you're not careful, you'll go to meet the Lord without rewards. and then you'll wish you had rewards. You see, today is the day that we can serve. Today is the day that we can, you know, make our rewards. We've got to do it today. You can't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow you'll say, well, what about tomorrow? We have societies closer to the USA that say, mañana, mañana, you know. A lot of the, you know, the Spanish societies, you know, don't worry about it today. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's put it off. We don't do that over here in Asia, do we? Huh? We put things off over here too. Now, if you know, if God speaks to you today about doing something, you better do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. You know, you don't know. You have no promise of tomorrow. So we have to get it done today. The third point I'd like to make is commended to God through prayer. You've got a great prayer sheet here at your church. Make sure you get a copy of that, no matter who you are. And faithfully pray for the requests that are on the prayer sheet. And it's very important that you do that. We pray for a lot of people all over the world, because we've been helping people in different places around the world, and we still pray for them. And it's important that you do that. Paul says in verse 32 in the text here, he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. In other words, that means he's praying for these people, you see. And we need to pray specifically. If we know about certain details and things, then we need to pray specifically and ask God to help in whatever the situation may be. It might be for safety for the people. It might be for spiritual growth or spiritual ministry or for reaching the lost, or maybe somebody is sick and needs healing, you see. James 5:16 says, pray one for another that you may be healed. And it's important. And in that same verse, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And you can put woman in there, or you can put teenager in there. Everybody can pray, you see. Everybody can get involved. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And prayer does do a lot. It helps a lot. And then we need to be commended to the Word. The fourth point. And now, brethren, I commend you to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Sometimes people are looking for an inheritance on the earth. But an inheritance on the earth is so short-lived. Physical life is so fleeting. I mean, you know, it comes and goes quickly. You know, I've just spent 6 months with you. Did it go by fast? Yes, it went by fast for me too. It seems like I have a birthday every 6 months now. I don't really think I do, but it feels that way. You see, and that's why the Word is so important, you see. And, you know, the Word of God is able to build you up. It'll strengthen you. It'll help you in living your life. It gives you an inheritance, but it's an eternal inheritance. It's not a temporal inheritance. And it's important that we realize this. In the Bible, God says it. I believe it. And for me, that settles it. Okay? I believe the Word of God is true. Do you believe the Word of God is true? Okay. You've trusted in Christ as your Savior? Yes. Okay. Then you need to live by that. A little chorus we used to sing is the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. You know, I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, everybody. Yeah, it's good that we do that. And then render sacrificial service. You'll never You'll never serve enough. You'll never serve enough. It says here in verse 33 of the text, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul is talking. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. Paul made tents to get funds. And of course, he did have some that gave to help him in his work. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so labor in you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to realize that we need to, don't be selfish. Be gracious. Be giving. You only have a short time to do it. You put it off, and then maybe it doesn't get done. And then you regret it at a later time. You need to serve with integrity. Verse 33 says, covet not. He said, I have not coveted. Long time ago, I realized I would never be a rich man. You know, monetarily. But I want to be a rich man spiritually. I do want that. But I'm not too worried about money, you see. And then we need to serve with industry. In this passage, he says, these hands have ministered. In other words, don't be afraid to roll your sleeves up and do something. And it may even be menial work. I have done so many different things in my ministry. I mean physical, with my hands. I've laid blocks. I've plastered walls. I've done electrical work. I've done plumbing work. I've done everything you do in building. I've done it all. I'm not a builder. I'm not a contractor. But I served as a contractor for the Bible College for many years. And we developed the whole thing. Everything had to be done according to my specifications. And I got advice when I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, I've been willing to do any and everything. I even overhauled an engine in one of the vans for the Bible College. Got two more years out of it before we got rid of it and got another van. There's so many things. And listen, if we have people that are willing to be sacrificial in their service and give their time and their energy and their money, God will reward us for that. You see, He sees and He knows. You see, we need to serve with integrity and industry. And then we need to serve with sympathy. We have to support the weak. Where the ministry is faltering, we need to come along and prop it, you know, help it. And God may be speaking to somebody's heart that's here today, and you see some area of ministry in the ministry here, and you realize that help is needed. Well, then why don't you step in and do some sacrificial service? And you know, we have to get to the place where, you know, in this passage, the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than receive. If that be true, and that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where do I stand in relation to that? How do I fit in? Am I the one that ends up with the blessing? Or does somebody else get my blessing simply because I wasn't a person that was sympathetic and willing and sacrificial? In John chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, this is taking the planter's philosophy, you know, it has to do with planting. And if you don't take the corn seed and put it in the ground and let God do His marvelous work with it, through the heat and the moisture in the ground and cause it to germinate so that something comes out of it. You have a kernel of corn. Now, if you want a lot of kernels of corn, you take 5 or 6 kernels and you put them in the ground and you wet the soil and you let the sun shine on it, and after a while you'll see a blade come up out of that, and then a stalk will grow, and then you'll have ears of kernels of corn on that plant. And you'll end up, you maybe put 5 in the ground and end up with 500 kernels. I love corn on the cob. I would be doing some at the barbecue. You buy it in the shuck and put it down among the coals, wrap it up in some aluminum foil, wet it real good overnight, and you put it down in there and let it just, you know, cook a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit. And then when you pull that out and take some butter and put it on top of it, shake a salt shaker over it, hey, you'll be fighting each other to take those kernels of corn off of that corn cob. I'll tell you. And it's the best corn you'll ever taste. Try it next month. Okay? And if you need instructions, text us and I'll have my wife write them down for you. Yeah. Now, it comes down. John 15 talks about fruit. Jesus is talking to his disciples. I'm talking to the Lord's disciples today. And John in 15, he says fruit, verse 2. Then he talks about more fruit in verse 2 and verse 4. And then he talks about much fruit in verse 5. Now, in your spiritual life, is there fruit? Is there a time you can look back and you said fruit started there? Is there more fruit now than there was? Have you gotten to the place where there's much fruit? You see, that's the progression that God's looking for in your life. Sacrificial service. Are you willing to pay the price for much fruit in your life? That's really what it comes down to. Because we tend in the flesh to be, you know, a little stingy. We tend to be selfish. But the Christian that is in God's service has to put all that away. It takes sacrificial service for God's work to get done. It really takes it. Bud Robinson, a well-known holiness preacher, was taken by friends to New York and shown around the city, just like I was shown around Singapore. Okay? And that night in his prayers, he said, "Lord, I thank you for letting me see all the sights of New York. And I've enjoyed seeing all the sights of Singapore. And I thank you most of all that I didn't see a thing that I wanted. Blessed is the man who can sit loose to the charms of this old world, independent of them, because he doesn't want them." And that's what he was saying. Do I have to have them? No, I don't have to have them. But I have gone some places and eaten some nice food. I have seen a lot of lights. But you know, when they turn the lights off, the glamour dims. George Fox forsakes friends. In the year 1643, a young shoemaker's apprentice in England, at a business fair, was invited by a cousin and another friend to have a jug of beer with them. Being thirsty, he joined them. When they had drunk the glass apiece, his friends began to drink to their health, and, you know, more drinks. Agreeing that he would not drink Then they said, well, then you can pay all. You pay for all of it and make sure we get home. This shocked the serious youth, and rising from the table, he took out some money and laid it before them, saying, if it be so, then I'm going to leave you. If all the objective of why we're here is just to drink ourselves until we're drunk, then I'm leaving you. That night he walked up and down and prayed and cried to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him, saying, thou seest how young people go today into vanity and old people into the earth. Thou must forsake all, young and old. Keep out of all and be as a stranger unto all. In obedience to this command, the young man left his relations and his home and became a wanderer in England. His name was George Fox. And George Fox was the founder of the Quaker movement. You see, if we're really wanting to do something for God, we have to be willing to lay some other things aside so that we can accomplish that task. Now, I think Heritage Baptist Church can do great things. I think you're in a position to do some great things. You could win a lot of people to the Lord. But it's going to take the believers that make up Heritage Baptist Church surrendering themselves fully to the Lord and allowing Him through the Word and the ministry of the Spirit of God to work a work of grace in your lives together for that to be accomplished. It's easy to give an admonition, but I'll tell you one thing. Some of those admonitions I've given over the years are hard to live. I hope that you're the Christian that God wants you to be and that you will, set your mind to live the admonitions that are given. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to the brethren around you. Take heed to the people that are trying to get the Word of God out. And watch out for the world. Beware, because the world is not out for your good, it's out for your demise. God help us in these days to be the Christians that we ought to be. God use us. If we have our minds and hearts set on Him, He'll use us to be the one that helps people get saved and helps people to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and helps people do what God really likes to do in and through their lives. And I'll guarantee you it works that way. And it's been great trying to challenge you to do the same.